John's got it. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. Now let's stand one more time together in honor of God's word, and we'll read this verse together and then ask the Lord to bless as we listen tonight to what he has for us. Starting with verse 21. For even hereunto were you all called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps. And let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for each one that came out tonight. Thank you for being here with us. Thank you for your blessings in our life that are new every day, and your mercies that are new every day. Teach us tonight more about you and how we can yield more of ourselves to you so you can live through us and touch others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. What kind of person was Jesus really like when he lived on this earth? Well, we know that he was unique in every way. We know that he was born with no sin nature. We believe in the virgin birth of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
He was born miraculously, conceived by the Holy Ghost, by the Virgin Mary, and was born without a sin nature. He never sinned. He never had a bad thought. He never lost his temper and hauled off and clobbered somebody. Amen?
Amen.
He was constantly filled with the Spirit of God, and in his very short ministry, he performed many miracles and to validate that he was the Son of God, and then died on the cross to redeem us, and was buried and rose again to justify us, and is living right now at the right hand of God the Father, and also his Holy Spirit was sent here to live inside of us.
Amen.
And so he wants to continue his ministry on earth through us, his people. And so we often sing and pray, I want to be like Jesus. There's a hymn I like. It says, I want to be like Jesus in my heart. In my heart. Lord, I want to be like Jesus in my heart. And what do we mean by this? This desire, of course, is noble. And he is our example, as we read in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. He is our example. But he's also our example, not only in action, but in character. In character. We're going to talk about his character tonight. And he is to be our example in his character, as well as his actions. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, Romans chapter 8 and verse number 29, verse 29 says, Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. I'm in Acts. Well, Acts is a good book too. Give me a second here. Romans chapter 8. Tony, I think I got stuck with your glasses here. Romans 8, 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Being conformed into his image also means being conformed into his character. God's character living out through us. Well, when that happens, what is it like? Well, we know that Jesus was holy. Amen? He was holy. He was born according to the scriptures, as we said, without a sin nature, the virgin-born Son of God. Peter, when he preached in Acts chapter 3, he called Jesus the Holy One of God. Let me just turn there, Acts chapter 3 and verse number 14. You denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. As Peter is preaching and he is exalting Christ, he called Jesus the Holy One and refers to him as the Holy and the Just One. And so he shows his holiness by his loving righteousness. Jesus loves righteousness. What does that mean? It means he loves that which is right. Amen? If there's a right cause, then God loves every right cause. And he also hates evil. And evil is that which is wrong. So he hates that which is wrong. He loves that which is right. And when he is working in our life, when we yield ourselves to him, we carry that same characteristic. We start loving the things he loves, and we start hating the things he hates. He hated evil so much that he was willing to die on the cross of Calvary, according to the Bible, and to defeat sin and to offer eternal salvation and righteousness to all that received him. And he did that because he hated sin, because of what sin does to people. Sin destroys lives, amen? Sin ruins lives, and sin separates mankind from God.
Amen.
You remember how he cleansed the temple? You remember when he denounced the Pharisees and he turned over the tables in the temple and he made a cord and he started to chase them out, started to chase the animals out and drove everybody out because they were making merchandise in the house of God? I wonder what he thinks about bingo, amen?
Amen.
I don't think he likes churches opening up and making some extra money by gambling, amen?
Amen.
And so, but in any event, he cleansed the temple because he loves righteousness. He cleansed the temple because he hates iniquity. And in Galatians chapter 3, if you'd like to turn there, or if you had a long day and just want to listen, that's all right. Just sit back and listen. Galatians 3:13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And so he became a curse for us under the law. And he gave us his righteousness through the atoning work on the cross, according to Romans 4:6 also. He imputed his righteousness to us. And so Jesus is holy. Jesus is holy. We talk about his character. He's holy. And we think of his character, part of his character is also the fact that he is loving.
Amen.
There's no denying in reading the Bible and reading the New Testament that you come out after reading it and believing that Jesus is a loving Savior.
Amen.
And he showed his love in two ways. He showed his love to God the Father, and then he showed his love to mankind.
Amen.
And that is two ways for us to show our love also. Our love to the Father determines our influence. Our vertical relationship determines our horizontal influence. Let me say that again. Our vertical relationship with God determines our horizontal influence. The more we love God, the more we're going to want to show it to others. There's no way to love God and not want to express it to others. It's impossible to say and believe, I love God, but I don't care about my fellow man. Because if the love of Christ is in us and we yield ourselves to his love and his character, that same love will enable us to love others. And yet there are Christians today that claim to love God, but they don't never show it by what they do. They live a very centered life, self-centered life. In John chapter 14 and verse 31, John chapter 14 and verse 31, as we think on the subject of his character being that of love, verse number 31 says, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do, arise and let us go hence. And so he had this testimony that he loved the Father. John chapter 6 and verse 38, John chapter 6 and verse number 38 says, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And so it was his love for God that caused him to even come to this earth to do what he did and to die the death that he did. And so he shows his love by his obedience to the Father. And the love expresses itself in obedience. When our children obey us, don't they make us happy? Amen? Especially if they do it with a good attitude.
Amen.
Yeah. And when we obey the Lord, we show the Lord that we love him also. And so he finished the work that God gave him to do. And that shows his love also. What else does Jesus love? Oh, he loves righteousness. He loves the Father. He also loves the church. Christ loves the church.
Amen.
I always knew there was a reason why I love the church. I love it because he loves it. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25 reminds us of his love for the church. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. There's an admonition for husbands to love your wives as Christ loved the church. A sacrificial kind of love. Hey, it takes sacrifice. Amen.
Amen.
Guys, to go out there and bring home the bacon. Fight the world all day and come home dragging and tired and weary. And a lot of the women help us out also because of this economy where it takes two people to work in many times just to survive in this part of the country where prices are high and getting higher, unfortunately. It's a sad state of affairs. Price of gasoline's going up and everything's going up. Recently, I went out to get a hamburger and just a small little delicatessen, Keith's Bagels, right across the street there from Kathy's. And the whole time he was complaining about the price of everything going up. He said, I don't know how long I'm going to stay in business. I just don't know. Everything's going up and I can't pass on the price to the consumers. They won't pay what it costs me to keep the place open. And I think if that's just a small sampling of Garfield, what is it really like from coast to coast? But we are in uncharted waters, aren't we, in America? Amen? And how much more do we need to be praying and to be seeking God's blessings on our life and praying for those that are over us and making decisions every day? But, well, there's not much time left till the next election. And so, be informed and then go and vote. Amen? If you're not going to be informed, don't vote just for the sake of voting. But be informed. Know who you're settled on in your mind. And even if you have to hold your nose and vote. Sometimes it comes to that. But we know that in the end, God's will is going to be accomplished on this earth in the long run. But it is our duty as citizens to be informed and to vote. But Jesus loves the church and he gave himself for it. And so if he loves the church, he also loves local churches. He loves Community Baptist Church. Amen?
Amen.
Do you love Community Baptist Church?
Amen.
I do. And I know you do because you're here tonight. I appreciate that and the Lord does too. And I want our church to do better and to be better. I don't want our church to do worse. I want it to do better. And all of us as members should want it to be better. And to make it a priority in our life to remember our church and our prayers and to work to making it better all the time. Jesus Christ had a special love for his own people, and he still does today. In John chapter 13 and verse number 1, I'm glad the Lord has a special love for his people. And that means you. He loves you especially. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Isn't that nice?
Amen.
Right unto the very end, he loved them and he cared about them. And because love is a part of his character. And when we yield ourselves to the Lord, we also have love for one another. Isn't that right? And we express it and we show it and we feel it. And we're kind of like a family, like VJ said, on this earth. We're a bigger family. And when one hurts, all hurt. When one rejoices, we all rejoice. Amen? When one stumbles, we all try to pick them up. When one is having a hard time, we pray for them. We try to do something to encourage them. And interesting enough, as we think of his character, not only does he love the church, and not only does he love righteousness, and not only does he love the Father, and he loves the saints, but he loves sinners. Let's face it. Amen?
Amen?
He still loves sinners. And when we yield ourselves to Christ, guess what? We're going to have compassion for them also. It's not natural, but we will.
Amen.
It's not natural to bless someone who curses you, but the ability is there when we yield ourselves to the Lord. He loves sinners, and he came to seek and save that which was lost. And those of us that are saved tonight, it's because he came to seek us. He came to seek us out, and he worked through other people to get our attention, our direct total attention. And then he revealed himself to us and allowed us to make that decision of receiving him or rejecting him. Aren't you glad he came to seek you?
Amen.
Yes, he did. He came to seek you and to save you because we were lost. And so Jesus loves sinners. In Matthew chapter 5, thinking about his character tonight, the character of Jesus, and he lives in us. Matthew 5, 44 says these words, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you." Well, there's that double-edged sword tonight. I don't even have it here in the pulpit. Amen? It hurts sometimes, that old sword, that word of God, when it comes into our heart. That double-edged sword, it pierces going in and it cuts going out. Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them that love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same?" He was giving them an example saying, you're no different than anyone else if you only love your own. If you only have compassion for those that are like you. But if you're going to be different, if you're going to be unique, if you're going to exhibit my character, you're going to love those that are against you. And you're going to love those that are indifferent. And you're going to show compassion for those that are not even interested in the things of God. You know, that's the difference in success and failure in building a work for God. That's the difference in success and failure in teaching a class or running a bus ministry or having a nursing home ministry. What is it? Going the extra mile. Caring about those that miss. Caring about those that fall by the wayside or drop through the cracks. The Jesus in us says, go after them. The Lord in us says, make the phone call. It's the Lord in us that says, care about others. And so Jesus obeyed his own teaching in Matthew 5:44 as our example. Did he not bless those that cursed him? Didn't he love those that hated him? What did he say to Judas Iscariot on that fateful night when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying earnestly with a broken heart and shedding strong tears in agony? And then Judas came with the soldiers. And how did he greet Judas? Where are you coming from, friend? Amen. And Judas kissed him on the cheek, the sign of betrayal. But he loved his enemies, is what the point I'm trying to make. He obeyed his own teaching. He loved his enemies. What else does Jesus love because of his holy character? Well, he loves little children. You read the Bible and you read some wonderful things about Jesus. Look at Mark chapter 10. His character enabled him to love children. You know, you can't really fool children. They're smarter than we give them credit for. Amen? I remember when I was pastoring in Buffalo, New York, and we needed a babysitter. And the children were very young. And we weren't really sure whether to leave all of them with this lady in the church that volunteered to watch them. But she seemed like a really nice lady and one of the faithful ones in the church. And we agreed. And the day came, we dropped the children off at her house and said goodbye. And we went out. We were out visiting or shopping or eating or something. And when we came home, the kids were very quiet. And they got in the car. And we started driving home. And we asked them, well, how did it go? Dead silence. Finally, Lori said, "Dad, please don't ever take us there again." I said, "Why?" She said, All she did was yell and scream all day. We didn't do nothing. I said, all right, we'll find a different babysitter. Sometimes you don't really know what people are like, amen? But evidently she had a temper, and the way that she got things done in that house was to raise her voice a few decimals. Now, if that's convicting tonight, it was not on purpose. But that was, to her, that was just her way of living. I mean, she yelled all the time, evidently, at home and at church. She was quiet as a church mouse. But in Mark chapter 10, and, you know, I remember that story because it reminds me that children are very perceptive. And they could see what we didn't see, that's for sure. But in Mark chapter 10 and verse 13, and verses 13 through 16, and they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. Amen. For of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, he put his hands upon them, and he blessed them. What a beautiful scene we have here from the Bible of what Jesus thinks of little children. Amen?
Amen.
I get a kick over Veronica. Lately this year, she's got this obsession with me touching the top of her head. I don't know what it is. She wants me to bless her, I guess. I don't know. But you'll see tonight when we go downstairs, she'll wait for the right time, and she'll come over to me, and she'll take my hand and put it on her forehead. And she just cracks me up. And it's funny. But the love of Jesus for children. And if we yield ourselves to His Holy Spirit, guess what? We're going to have a love for children too, even greater than we do. Amen?
Amen.
We will. And I'm glad that children feel welcomed in our church.
Amen.
It's a wonderful thing to see. Because wherever children are, Jesus is not far away, believe me. Amen?
Amen.
Children are not easily fooled, that's for sure. And He showed His love by another way. The Bible says that He became poor for us so that we might be rich. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. That's a lot of love, amen? He gave up all the splendor of heaven to come down here, to be born of poor parents and a poor family, and to go through living like that so that you and I would have a better eternity. That's quite a lot of love. And of course, His love is supreme, and He shows it, of course, by His death on the cross for our sins. And He shows His love daily by sustaining us with strength and sustaining us in our daily walk and caring for us and being our guide in life. You know, we could spend an entire night just talking on the love of Jesus, part of His character. He's holy, He's loving, and His love for souls is also a part of His character. And we need to follow Him in this never-dying love for the souls of men, women, boys, and girls, all around us wandering, many of them in sin, many of them separated from God. We should always have a gospel track not far from us. A Christian without a gospel track is like a fireman without a hose. Amen? We ought to have some. So if you need any on your way out tonight, take some from the back and use them, give them out, be willing to give them out during the week. His earthly ministry was one of dealing with individuals one by one. His love for souls enabled Him to talk to individuals. Oh yes, He preached and taught to the multitudes, but He also won people over one at a time.
Amen.
He won Andrew, he won Peter, he won Philip, he won Nathaniel, he won Nicodemus, all in private conversations. And because of his love for lost souls, Jesus entered the joy of seeking sinners and receiving them. And he's also deeply grieved every time a soul rejects him. And it's sad, and it saddens us, doesn't it, when people reject the greatest gift in the world. In Luke chapter 19 and verse 41, Luke 19, I wonder, Luke chapter 19, verse 41 and 42, when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. Christ weeps over Jerusalem. He weeps over an entire city. I wonder tonight how he feels about our city. I wonder if it bothers him that many in Garfield are lost, or many in your town and your neighborhood are lost. I believe that it does grieve him, even today, that people resist his word. Amen? Because he's not willing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. I wonder how the Lord feels about our country tonight, the United States. I wonder if it grieves him. I think it does, the way many people live in this land. Our country needs a revival. Amen? I don't see any hope unless things turn around. Unless some people turn around, especially those in high places in government. But his tears that he shed over Jerusalem were not for the buildings, were not for the beautiful temple, and not for anything else that was in that city except people. Each individual. His character showed his great compassion. We see his compassion throughout the Bible. The very shortest verse in our English Bible, Jesus wept, shows his great compassion as he weeps at the graveside of a friend, Lazarus. And he wept also over multitudes. We see his compassion when he saw somebody's physical need. He was touched by the feeling of infirmities. And when he saw a physical need, it stopped him many times where he would heal somebody or help somebody. In John chapter 6 and verse number 5. John chapter 6 and verse number 5. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come to him, he said unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And he's thinking about the multitude. He's thinking about the great need that they had and his compassion for them. He had compassion when he saw someone with a disease. He had compassion. And his compassion brought upon himself actions. And when we yield ourselves to the Lord, we're going to have some action. Believe it. Amen? Because it's a part of his character, not only to feel, but to act and react. And so Jesus loved in word and he loved in deed. Someone says, I want to be like Jesus, but don't ask me to do anything for others. Well, then you can't be like him. Amen? Because his character is one of loving and caring and demonstrating. A lot of people today have the attitude, let somebody else do it. Well, yes, somebody else will do it, but you'll miss out on a blessing. Amen? His character shows us that he was prayerful. All of the Gospels reveal his prayer life. It certainly was an extraordinary prayer life as the Son of God, and there are many times he prayed not only into the night, but all night. It was not uncommon to him to do that. He prayed before great experiences. He prayed before his baptism, before his great temptation. He prayed openly before others, before he performed miracles. And he ended his earthly life with a prayer on his lips, the very last words. In Luke chapter 23 and verse 46, Luke chapter 23 and verse number 46, and when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said this, he gave up the ghost. And his last words on earth were a prayer to God. You know, that's a good way to leave this world for a Christian, amen? Amen. Calling on the name of the Lord and looking for Him. But he often desired to be alone in his earthly ministry so that he could pray in secret. We know he prayed with his disciples, and he also prayed for individuals. And that's a challenge to all of us in our prayer life. Do we pray for individuals as much as we should? In Luke chapter 22 and verse 31 and 32, just turn there and read that to you. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee," amen, "that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Jesus prayed for individuals. And if we're yielded to him, other people are going to be a concern to us so that we will take that burden and talk to God about it. Amen? Oh, many people need our prayers tonight. Many people in our church need our prayers. Many people are going through a difficult time. Our neighbors are going through a difficult time. Our towns are going through strenuous time. Our nation needs our prayers. And so as we yield to the Lord, I know He'll touch us to pray more than we do for our country, for our leaders, for our own church, and for every part of the ministry of our church, that the Lord will continue to bless us. He wants to live His life in us. And when He lives through us, His character will be showed as we yield ourselves to Him. And so we're going to continue the study next week on the character of Jesus. We covered just a few things tonight. But thank God He is love. He's holy. He's just. Thank God He loves us. He loves sinners and He loves the church. And there's a whole lot of other things He loves. Amen. All right. Let's be dismissed in prayer. Father, thank you so much for your love. Help us to yield to you each day, and help us not to be so busy in our schedules that we don't allow you the opportunity to use us as time permits and as people go before us and as we see people around us. Help us to be so yielded to you that we'll be able to do your will each day and to help others to find you, to point people towards you, and to be a good testimony. Be with those tonight that have special needs in our church, those that need employment, those that are sick, those that have family problems. We pray, Lord, that you would intervene in these situations and to give them victory, we pray, and we give you the glory. Bless our fellowship and the food, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.